Mama call him Clay. I'ma call him Clay. I'm kidding. I'll call him Muhammad. It's fine. Beef, wine, and shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen. The original gangsters of nerdology are back. Mark Abbott rejoins us after his hacienda at Best Buy to get some new headphones. Kirk Johnson, who I've actually been able to see in person quite a bit, so we can officially say we are no longer socially distant as fuck, because we actually got to work at CBS together a couple of times over the past few weeks, which is kind of interesting, kind of fun, you know.
Steven sings at work. I did not know that.
Sometimes I get a little, you know.
Yeah, man. Belting out the hits there. That's a stage manager. Shit.
Well, you know, I have to admit, I've enjoyed that gig. I mean, I guess there'll be some more, you know, because sports is never going away. So, you know, now that my employment is kind of tied into that, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. But in the meantime, so we are back. The original threesome. And what else would we possibly talk about except this fella right here? For those of you that are just listening, I just flashed him a Godzilla t-shirt because, of course, it is now time to talk about Godzilla versus Kong.
Well,
damn, is all I can say. And I mean, and don't get me wrong, I mean, it's like, it's not, I don't consider this to be a perfect movie by any means, but the fun factor is off the chart. It's for somebody, for anybody who grew up watching these movies, you know, the 70s versions, and like Mark just mentioned before we started, the Shin Godzilla, like there's so much stuff out there. The old school cartoon where they used to sing the theme song, up from the depths, 30 stories high, breathing fire, his head in the sky, Godzilla. You know? Well, if I'm going to go with the singing, then I guess I should. Yeah, so much. And then, you know, we've had these recent years where we had that first Godzilla reboot with Bryan Cranston, which I gotta admit, I felt a little deceived by that because I thought it was gonna be Heisenberg versus Godzilla. And when he died, I gotta tell you, I was a little mad. And then we had Pretty Boy chasing Godzilla around.
It was the Maximoff twins. Right. Wanda, you know, and Quicksilver. Yeah,
exactly. Chasing and one of them, and at one point had a baby on his hip, like, you know, some sister in the bush in Africa. You know, it's like, what am I watching here? But you know, even then, that Godzilla looked a lot better than that Matthew Broderick salamander iguana, whatever the hell that was supposed to be attacked. They put us through in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I was happy with that. And King of Monsters, well, that was nice.
I was actually. Nice.
And all I got to say on that, Mothra.
Yeah.
Mothra.
Mothra for the win?
With a total slam dunk. Mothra. That's all I got to say. Like, I just want to take Mothra out to dinner.
Give you some of that special sauce you got.
Yeah. No, just to wrap it out, just be like, so.
Just wrap a little bit on
it. When you actually make the metamorphosis, like, what's that feel like? Like, you know, just kind of get into the nitty gritty with Mothra.
Yeah.
But so, and then Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
So we get to watch Sam Jackson get slapped around, and deservedly so because he was being an ass in that movie.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
And that sets us up. That brings us to this. And like I said, you know, it's like if you really sat down and you started thinking about like all the stuff that the movie actually proposes, you're like, get the fuck out of here.
You're not supposed to actually.
But you're not actually supposed to do that. You're supposed to enjoy it for what it is. And I'm going to toss it off to Kirk because I'm actually a little surprised that Kirk's okay with it. Because, and I'm going to tell you why. Because
okay, yeah.
Kirk, you are the one who's always like, okay, so how giddy you've been about the Expanse.
Yes.
And how the perfect science and, you know, like, yeah. And you've repeatedly pointed out, you know, how the science of the Expanse, which is a much more complicated scenario, and, you know, obviously they've got more real estate to play with because it's a series, it's not a 2-hour movie, you know, you've always been the one to point out how great that is. Yeah. So I was a little, you know, it's like, while I'm happy, we're all happy, you know, don't get mm-hmm. me wrong. I was surprised. Kirk was like, oh yeah, shit, this is dope. Like, cause
well,
like, yeah, I
mean, well, you know, you kind of, you know, I'm only on the impression, you know, when you watch a movie, you know, you take it for what it's supposed to be. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, certain movies are going to be light on the idea of science. We don't. Nobody's ever going to watch Hercules and think of the science in it.
No.
Right. Right. No. Or any of those, or King Arthur, or even the superhero flicks. I mean, and funny enough, you should say, you know, DC. If we're going to look at the movies, when you talk about like the DCEU and the Marvels. Marvel leans more on trying to explain shit scientifically as opposed to DCEU just letting shit go with the mysticisms and the
right
and the magic and the mythology. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you take it as it is, you know, also realizing that this is a fabricated kind of storytelling. These are this fictional world. It's all fiction. None of that shit is real anyway.
Right.
And yes, and when I do appreciate when writers and directors do the research and they like, you know, we can incorporate this in the storyline, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And I appreciate also when, you know, researchers and writers and directors are like, you know, we're going to go a little wacky on this, and that's just how it's going to be.
Right.
So taking it like that, I was like, you know, just give me some shit I can chew on a little bit, or at least, you know, some awesome stuff I can even play with my own writing.
Yeah.
I really love the showing when, how they showed the Hollow Earth thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And even though for me, the whole entire gravity inverse thing didn't make sense to me. I can't figure that part out. Mm-hmm. I still appreciated that. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated that. That reminded me so much of, Recently, this dude on YouTube's been talking about the reshot structure in North Africa, in Morocco, and because of the way it's designed, it looks like a spiral, like a circle within a circle within a circle, but it's so big you can see it from out of space. They call it the Eye of the Sahara. You can actually, satellites will actually see it from out of space. That's how huge it is. That's why nobody ever picked it up or realized what it was. Until a satellite imagery came in. So people were traversing it and shit without realizing what the fuck it was. So anyway, the guy actually theorizes that is the idea, that is where the idea of Atlantis came from. Hmm. Like, this is actually an ancient Neolithic structure, mm-hmm. that people built during the greening period of the Sahara, when the Sahara was a green and lush place. And that there was probably a channel running right past it, and the whole crazy shit, but shit like that I can dig. You know, it's speculative, it's conspiratorial, but it's still very imaginative, mm-hmm. and it gives us new mythologies and legends to play with. That's what I think about it. Yeah. So, but I dug it. Yeah, and Godzilla Axe is awesome. Yeah. The Godzilla Axe.
Well, is it the Godzilla axe or is it the Kong axe?
Call it a Godzilla axe because the blade itself is made from one of Godzilla's fins.
Ah, right.
It's literally like one of a dorsal fin from the Godzilla back. So not that Godzilla, but probably an earlier one. That was cool. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I had heard that it was supposed to be part of his body or whatever, but the movie didn't explain that per se. And it went out of the way to explain a few things.
Yeah.
But it didn't just come out and say, "Oh, that this is what that's supposed to be." I guess you're supposed to kind of figure it out.
If you blink, you'll miss it. But the scene where you see like the image of the giant snake around the pillar when it was getting charged, all the images of the dorsal bone were axes. It was a set of them. It was a bunch of them. And I looked and I was like, wait a minute. You'll see it, and then you'll see like a little handle coming out from a circle. Okay. And it's like, that's a bunch of dorsal fins. That ain't just one. It's not one axe. It's a bunch of axes. Mm. So that was like, oh. I'm all right with that. That shit don't make sense, but I'm all right with that.
So really all we needed at that point was Oprah. You get an axe. You get an axe.
You get an axe.
All right. Okay. That works.
I was saying all you need now is like different Kongs, right? Like undead Kong zombies arising from the fucking graves with axes, like picking up their axes and shit and giving them a salute. Like that's so, that's so crazy. That's crazy.
I don't know if we ready for all of that.
You ready? I don't know, man. Like I said, this is some wacky shit already, man. You might as well just go all in.
Zombie Kongs. See, as opposed to Donkey Kong, is zombie Donkey Kong. Oh my god. Mark, I know you're happy with the movie.
Yeah.
But I gotta ask you, so why do you think the monsters, as big as they are prone to this communication with little kids?
Hell, Matt Gaetz.
As a father, like, you know,
I have no idea. Like, so far we've got, well, three of them have, you know, Kong did it, Mothra did it, Godzilla, I think he picks and chooses if he decides he wants to listen to you or not.
Gamera
did it.
Oh, Gamera Gamera could have opened a school. I mean,
Godzuki did it. So, you know, but also he talked too. So that was another.
Right.
Rodan didn't seem to care.
And Rodan does not. I said Roseanne. Rodan.
Rodan.
Who isn't racist, but right. Rodan, the only interaction I've ever seen him outside of the other big monsters was literally knocking F-14s out of the air and eating dolphins. Like that's, you know, that's all I ever see him do.
And dropping parasites. Yes. Parasites. Yeah.
I have no clue about why that seemed to be. And I had to laugh because when the movie opened like that, I was like, okay, so I know where we're going with this because we gotta let the audience bond with Kong because this had to be the sympathetic, you know, he now could do sign language like the Jane Goodall gorillas and I was like, okay. I see what you guys are gonna do, but I don't care. I still like Godzilla, and I'm still rooting for him. That's not gonna sway. That is not swaying. And I have to say, because Kurt, I got a little confused when Kurt was messing with me because I said I felt vindicated because that 1970s Godzilla versus King Kong, where you had to assume that. Godzilla just didn't come back up, that Kong swam away.
Yeah.
That first fight, first thing in my head is I'm like, all he got to do is drag him to the base of to the bottom of the water and drown him. Mm-hmm. This is not even it's like, this fight is over within a few minutes. You know, because I always thought that as a kid, I was like, well, I don't understand. If Godzilla lives in the water, why didn't he just drown Kong? How did Kong somehow break free and swim away? So,
and that was good that they did that. Yeah, that was good that they did that.
Because we at least get an idea of, you know, Godzilla's not stupid. You know, mm-hmm. he realizes the thing that he's fighting, he's going to have to use a little more tact than just brute strength. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I love the film. It gave me everything that I was hoping I would get, I got. You know, the roundabout story was exactly that. It was food for fodder. It really wasn't, you know, built for you to take, you know, simple enough, the agency trying to mm-hmm. get those government contracts. So now we got to make these guys look like they're a threat. Mm-hmm. You know, the scientists that, you know, which oddly enough, what was funny, when Godzilla did the whole thing where he burrowed the hole, mm-hmm. and I kept thinking, I was like, you remember when we were kids, people used to say, you know, if you keep digging, you dig in the deep.
You dig your way to make it to China.
Yeah, did do that, did he?
Okay, start out in Antarctica, end up in China. Okay. End up in China.
Khan traveled the globe.
I will have to say this though. Mecha Godzilla did Godzilla dirty. That was
but I mean that is his job.
He ran him through the streets. He dragged him through the streets. He literally
grabbing him and tossing him and Godzilla literally getting up like, what the death?
I felt for Godzilla at that point. I was like, "Oh, that's wrong. That's wrong."
That was
wrong.
And that was wild because everything up until that point had been very animalistic in terms of the mm-hmm. fight choreography. And yeah. one thing I really dug was Godzilla was biting Kong. I was like, "See, yes, that makes sense." Obviously, you mm-hmm. couldn't do that back in the 70s with those
rubber suits
and whatever the hell they were wearing back then. But Godzilla was sinking their teeth in and broke top. It was a very animalistic fight, and then to all of a sudden turn it into a scene from Love and Hip Hop, where I know you not talking to my man, and then literally drag Godzilla. Like, that shit was like,
that was wrong.
That's not necessary. It is not necessary that we went that far back into Brooklyn on that. That's what that was.
Dragged his name.
That was the most agile mechanic I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
He was catching him. Like, there was one where he, like, mushed his face into the side of the building. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, what just happened?
What just happened? And honestly, we probably, like, none of us should laugh because think about it like this. Could you beat a robot version of yourself?
Probably not.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a Godzilla axe.
All three of us would get our asses kicked.
If I had a Godzilla axe.
Well... You had a Godzilla axe, right?
But yeah, we get our asses kicked. Now you're right. You're right.
I will.
That should have hurt.
I did love the fact that Godzilla, and it's one of those things that I almost feel like you have to be from New York to get it. Mm-hmm. When he gave him the nod of respect, because after he beat up Kong and Kong is screaming at him, and he looks at him, he's like, "All right,
yeah, he did, he did."
He's like, "Okay."
No, because we got some shit that go way back, but I appreciate you. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
I'm gonna go back home now.
That's the interesting part. Like, and the thing is, this is a funny thing. They set it up early in the movie with Skarsgård talking about genetic memory.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because for real, as far as the story goes, as far as like whoever wrote it, the writing story goes, them niggas never met each other. Godzilla's 500 years old. Mm-hmm. King Kong was born probably in the 40s or the 30s, let's say the 30s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in King Kong was, well, in Skull Island, they talk about he was a kid when he came to the island.
Mm-hmm.
and the people found him, and he came on a trawler. So they actually, so in Godzilla at the time has been just sleeping on the ground.
Right.
So personally, them two never met, but their ancestors did.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how they, you know, because so that whole idea of genetic memory is a setup for Kong finding finding terrestrial underground world, and for them being having animosity between each other.
So it's kind of like,
you know, them two never met.
Mongoose.
Yeah. Yeah, like them two never met.
Abby, Nagaina kind of thing.
Yeah, tradition and shit. And nigga, that's tradition.
What I don't understand, it's almost like the Superman complex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many times are we going to shoot something at one of these creatures and realize it's not going to work? Like, you got the entire Navy out there throwing depth charge at, I'm like, y'all know this ain't gonna work. All it's gonna do is make him mad. And it's like the guys when Superman comes down, they all pull guns on him. And I'm like, okay, so
yeah, did y'all not get the memo?
Like the guys in jail from last week that warned y'all, like, yeah, that don't work against me. You know, you know, instead of like, let's try and lead him away.
Right.
From the ships, just start throwing things or flying planes at him. Oh, yeah, I felt sorry for that one dude. What is that? Kong picked up the plane and the guy was still in it.
Yeah. Eject.
Yeah, I've got to get
him. And I'm out of here.
Yeah.
He clearly needs this plane more than I do. I'm
question is, why the fuck you still in there when them niggas was on it? As soon as Kong got on, you should have left. One guy left. He like, the Kong was on. He was like, I'm out. Bam. The other guys in the plane was like, you know what I mean? I'm just getting out of here.
No, trust me. If that had been me,
yeah.
First time I see those fins coming out of the water and I'm in I'm in an F-14,
yeah.
I'm gonna be like, so I'm going to Brooklyn.
Yes.
And I would be landing that plane on the roof of my mother's building and be like, hey, mom, so, I, you know, the Navy didn't quite work out.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Like I always said about,
you know,
like I always said about Captain Nieder in Empire Strikes Back, when he's like, I'm going to go and tell Vader personally. They would have been like, yeah, he's on his, wait a minute, he's making a turn. Lord Vader, yeah, I don't think exactly. He's on his way to you.
Vader would have had to. Vader would have had to force choke me long distance. Yeah. Right. He would have had to force choke me from way over here. Like
Vader would have.
If your force choke thing can make it from like 18 parsecs, then all right, bet. Then that's my bad. But
that's Vader looking for Luke and Commander Nader.
I'm gonna make this run for it.
Yeah. Yo, Nita tripping. Said he wanted me to come over here and apologize for him. You know he wouldn't even trip.
I'm not here anymore.
We're out.
Man, you gonna try to choke me?
You know what's funny though? The sequence inside Mechagodzilla when the Skull Crusher.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Your boy let out that scream.
Yes. Keep it, boy. Ah, yes. Yes. Man, I did laugh at that too. I did laugh.
He was like, wait a minute, wait. No, no, you don't have to go get nobody. We just get it. Yeah, they're going to get somebody.
They're going to get somebody.
I did like him. I mean, as much as everybody kind of complains about the human element and the storylines, I did actually like him in this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I liked all the human people in that. I was like, how else are you going to explain them, the monsters getting together in the first place?
Yeah, because you do need, then they don't talk to each other. So it's not, you know.
Right, it's not like it's subtitled.
Right. Oh. It's not like Don King's like the you know, the promoter for it. Don King got a line to Godzilla and Kong going, you know, we get some money for y'all. We can get some bananas and some fish. All the bananas you want. All the fish you can eat. Just meet up here in Hong Kong.
Only in China. Oh my god.
Exactly.
Dante. And yeah, and let me see how many we should have, you know, next time we watch this movie, we're gonna drink every time they call him a monkey. Because
oh, that's just, but really, outside of
man,
the very attractive but evil daughter, I don't think that got thrown around too much.
No, she was the only one that just kept calling.
Who's the only one?
Yeah,
she was like, the monkey, monkey is doing the monkey. Right. I'm like,
that's why you got killed. That's why the monkey squished your ass.
Yeah, she sure did get killed,
but
like super killed.
Yeah, I think Mark's talking about everybody else who's keep calling him monkey.
No, because
the real people.
I had to remind Kirk that I had a guy years ago when the Peter Jackson version came out, and I was at work, and this guy, you know, he had seen it that weekend, and he kept saying, you know, oh, and the monkey was doing this, and the monkey was doing that. You know, and I was wondering when the monkey was going to climb the Empire State Building. And I finally was like, yo, my man, he's not a monkey. He's a gorilla. He's a silverback gorilla. If you looked, you know,
yeah.
And dude, and the guy, dude looked at me. He goes, I know my primaries. I'm like, you. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's when you give up.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Literally when you yeah. walk away and you're like, yeah, I'm.
You know,
I'm gonna make it my business to never have another conversation with you. It's just
yeah. I was telling Mark, somebody at work kept saying that too, and I was like, "He's not a gorilla. He's not a monkey. He's an ape." And the kid said, "Well, what's the difference?" Well, young man,
right.
What school forgot to tell you is
that's when you're literally like, "Where did you go to college?"
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you might want to get a refund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. But yeah, I guess basic by animal biology and whatever, like that's not necessarily everybody's forte. I remember not too long ago, but a while ago, like there was this picture of this bat and it yeah. was all over the internet. And everybody's like, oh, that's so ugly. Oh, that's so frightening. Oh, that thing could probably kill a cow. And on and on and all. And I finally chime in with, first of all, that's a fruit bat. And then it's like a little lull. And then finally, of course, there's one motherfucker. Well, how are you now, nigga? And it's like the snout. Fruit bats have long snouts so they can get into fruit. And they generally don't look that fearsome. The vampire bats, because they're biting flesh, their faces are a little, you know, they're yeah. more compacted. And of course, that conversation, you would think that actually got better, and it just got worse.
It just got
worse. You know, you think you know everything. Well, Clyde, I gotta go now. That's when you give up. That's when you give up. That's when you say, okay. You know what?
That's when you type, you know, your mama should have bought you some encyclopedias when you was a kid.
Yeah.
It wasn't expensive either.
The Discovery Channel's got some great.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the alligator and the crocodile. You
know? Right.
It's like, you know, they need to do something about those crocodiles down in Florida.
Florida.
Okay.
Right. All right.
First of all, there are. If they're crocodiles in Florida, that means somebody put them there. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. gators. Well, I don't see what the difference is. And, you know, the snout. You know, the gator's got the rounded snout. The crocodile has a more elongated the bump on his nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing. Dolphin and a porpoise.
Yes, they're two dolphins. Yeah.
God, what's the difference between those fish? Well, first of all, they're mammals.
right. The first problem is that they're not fish, they're mammals.
There's that.
I don't know, man.
Let's face it, a lot of people just don't know their primaries.
I blame capitalism.
Blames, yeah.
Too busy trying to get a job and working to actually, you know, learn some fun shit about your world.
Or not.
You know, yeah, because you know, when you work, you got to get those French benefits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With ketchup.
Oh, shit.
So ketchup on my French benefits.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you were saying.
Tasty, tasty French benefits. Oh my goodness. So I felt vindicated too, because I think I said pretty early on that what Godzilla versus Kong is going to end up being is they're going to slap each other around, but then there's going to be a mutual enemy to pop up, probably, you know, from that skull. And sure enough, they basically, you know, just kind of went right to form with that. The whole psionic essence of King Ghidorah being in Mechagodzilla, though, I didn't see that coming. That was a nice touch.
I didn't either. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a very nice touch. And the fact that, you know, once it was finally time to fight Godzilla, for him to, like, you know, fry to one dude's brain and then come around and kill Juan Valdez real quick.
He's the most interesting man in the world, head of Apex.
Right. I don't drink beer when I'm taking over a giant alien reptile, but when I
King Ghidorah. King Ghidorah. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, that was good. He did. He did say that differently. I won't know what I mean. I can't necessarily say it's wrong, because maybe with his accent from wherever he's from.
That's how you say it when you drink Dos Equis.
That's how you say it when you drink Dos Equis. There it is. That's it. Yeah. That's it right there. That's the answer. That's the real answer.
I'm drinking Dos Equis. That's why I say that. Yeah. King Ghidorah.
King Ghidorah.
Like, I just love the fact that my man came online by himself and was like, huh. Now let me see who I could take out. This dude right here in the control station.
Real slow, like, too. Like, creeping up behind him. Like, oh, you talking shit. You think you know what's going on. Like, commit to Chameleon. You think you run the streets, huh? You think what's going on, huh? You think you can use my mind and not my body, huh?
You think you're going to use my mind in this overactive transformer and I wasn't going to wild out on your ass?
You ain't gonna do that, huh? How that song go? Yeah, the fire on the vibe of what it is. I don't know how that song goes. I kept thinking when that shit went on, man. I was crazy. I love that shit. I ain't seen that much black blood and gore since the Conan comics. When the axe came down, he just started chopping on Mechagodzilla. I was like, well, shit. We didn't even get that in the Conan movie.
I don't know, man. Kirk, I think you need to just get the GoFundMe together and then just make your Conan movie, because you know
that's not gonna happen, right?
You just never gonna be happy. I feel like you always gonna be kind of mad about that.
Well, TIA, man, this is America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then there's that. But I feel like a Conan movie would make you happier. We got to figure that out.
Yeah, we can figure that out. Black Conan, a lot of gore, a lot of blood.
There you go.
Yeah, Black Conan. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that shit. Yeah. I think somebody wrote that shit. Somebody actually wrote
that. I guess we can't take Conan because he's trademarked character and everything. Co-man. That's it. There it is. That's who you call him.
Or if you say it like Dos Equis, Conan.
Conan.
Drinking Dos Equis, that's how you pronounce it. Oh, shit.
Yo, man. I did it. Co-man coming.
Wait, real quick. Did you guys appreciate, I did love this part, at the very end when Godzilla was like walking away and the light shines on his face. You see how fucked up he was looking? Like, he just came out of a bomb shelter. Mm-hmm. And then you look over at King Kong. King Kong look like it came out the same bomb shelter together. Like they look like they was done.
Oh yeah.
Like y'all need a vacation for a long time. Dude had like rings under his eyes. Godzilla was all ashy and shit. Vaseline on that scale or something.
You just made me think of something that would have been real dope.
What?
Credits roll.
Mm.
Come back. They're sitting next to each other eating shawarma. Yo, that would have been it right there.
You know what? For a gag reel, that shit would have been funny.
Yeah.
Seeing it in a eating swarm and maybe smoking a joint because that shit is legal.
That's right.
That shit, actually, I would have liked that.
You know what I did appreciate? I did appreciate the fact that Kong would start beating up on Godzilla. And then you see Godzilla getting ready to blow the flame, and he's like, "Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit!" And start jumping and get out the.
Yo,
I did like that.
Godzilla, like,
yo,
I like that. There was a point. Remember in the beginning that point where Godzilla kept trying to use his flame, and Kong just kept rushing him, like, "Oh fuck that! You ain't gonna use that." He grabbed his mouth. He closed his mouth shut. trying to get the that I yeah, you're yeah. And then when he realized I'm too far away to do anything, I need to run.
Yo, dude,
these buildings need to do something. These buildings need to be in the way.
He jumped on stuff, and Godzilla's like, "Hey, this smoke, you." Like, all right,
handle the smoke.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. Can't handle that smoke.
I'm gonna just wait you come down.
Mm-hmm. You can't stay up there forever.
Oh, exactly.
Like you, Spider-Man.
You have to come down sometime.
Yeah. So I wonder if anybody, because speaking of the Avengers that I referenced earlier, I wonder if somebody's going to sit down and do what they did at the end of the Avengers, where it's like somebody. And I forget what the exact dollar figure was, but somebody tabulated how much the Chitauri Avengers fight would have actually cost New York City had it actually happened.
Oh, the damage? Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, I think it was in the trillions or some mm-hmm. shit. Like it was, like the Grand Central Station. So I can't even imagine
this is one of the things when you have to like shut your mind off at that point, because the damage, the human cost, all that. If you don't shut your mind on that, you're like this. This is horrifying.
Right.
This is horrible. This entire city has been decimated. There was literally, I laughed because I kept seeing random people in the shot. Mm. Like Godzilla, I saw two people running. He's like, I was like, what the fuck are you still doing there? There was a chopper. There was one scene, a chopper flew right by Kong. I was like, what the fuck are you doing there?
Right.
No, at that point you're like, I gotta shut my head off because that.
that's true. It's You know what? Now that you mention that, you know what would have been funny if at the end, and you, I don't even think they would have even thought of it, but at the end of the Avengers, have them all sitting around the mayor and everybody tallying up everything, and then get a call from the Ghostbusters and be like, okay, so why did you revoke our license again? Because that was the whole reason why they were out of business.
Right.
Property damage.
How about that property damage? No.
Right. He takes back to the Ghostbusters. You ain't Tony Stark. You ain't got no money.
Right.
You ain't got no money.
But
oh my God.
But with all those buildings, like, you know, then there's also the fact that somebody had to be in those buildings. And so the funny thing is that was the premise behind Batman's beef with Superman.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it supposedly during his fight with General Zod?
Yeah,
he ended up killing a bunch of people that Batman happened to be friends with, and you know, like
a bunch
employees
of
and whatever. And he was like, "Yeah, fuck that, whatever. I'm Batman." And then he goes off, and he, you know,
so, wait, are we talking about a BVG?
Yeah.
Batman versus Godzilla. Batman not happy with how he handled that in Hong Kong. Too many people got killed. Wayne Industries got destroyed. Well, Batman's going after Godzilla.
That hey.
No. I can actually see that happening in DC Comics.
But then here's the funny thing. It's the same fucking story because they're fighting, and then the next thing you know, a bigger threat pops up, and they both, you know, immediately spawn their beef to deal with
How Batman and Godzilla fighting again?
No. I'm just saying, Batman versus Superman, kind of the same principle. Godzilla. Right. It was like,
one was better.
But you know, which one was better?
What were you saying, Mark?
Yeah, what's up?
No, I was saying, you know, what's interesting is go back to the Matthew Broderick one.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have
the military did more damage
than the giant iguana?
Than the iguana, which is because I think that in that entire movie, that was probably the loudest I laughed. Was when they tried to shoot him at the Flatiron Building and he ducked.
Yeah.
And he blew up the Flatiron.
Oh, like, wow. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, no. Thank you. All right. I'm gonna get this fishing going about my business.
That's true.
But they've been doing that for years. Like Godzilla, anytime these guys come from the depths of the sea, the military comes out and there's more property damage done. Like, I don't even know how you clean up after this. I know when he rolled up, when Godzilla showed up in Hong Kong, there was no alarm that went off. There was no warning.
Yeah.
And these cats never seem to show up in the day. What?
Oh, you mean the Pensacola attack? In Florida, the Pensacola attack in Florida.
Both of them. Didn't he show up at night or like around twilight? Like people were just getting off work. People were just getting off work, going home.
Oh, yeah. Was it early in the day or something? No. It was like dawn when Godzilla attacked Hong Kong. Was it dawn?
Yeah, because it got daylight. It was almost dawn because it was daylight by the time he, which is the same thing that happened in the Godzilla film. He got up, dusted himself off. Jump back in the water, swam away.
That sucks. Trying to figure out.
And that's probably just so he can fucking ride off in the sunset. I mean, in the sunrise.
No, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's probably just sunrise. Let's have Godzilla ride off in it.
Meanwhile, eggs and waffles are strewn all over the streets. McDonald's McGriddle sandwiches are just charred and burnt. That's a sad state of affairs, man.
It really is. Oh my goodness! But anyway, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, it was mindless fun. That's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah,
And
because, like Kirk said, you know, if you watch it and try to make sense out of every little thing, because I'm sorry. The one thing that still kind of sticks with me is the whole, you know, I'm a 30 story tall creature. And I'm stopping to have a conversation with like something that's literally this big to me. You know, that's literally like if I'm in the house fighting a burglar and then all of a sudden I got to worry about, you know, like, are the roaches okay? Like, to me, that's kind of like.
That's family. It's just like if you were like Roach Man and the roaches was family. But the Suicide Squad did that. You ain't King Kong either, brother.
it's like that. What was that? It was like that creature from Men in Black. The first Men in Black when he was trying to climb up to get on the ship, and he was like, "Oh, is this your cousin?"
Right. Yes.
Is that your auntie?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Goddamn skin.
Terrestrial.
Speaking
cockroaches.
Speaking. Quick left turn. Speaking of Suicide Squad, has everybody seen that trailer?
Yes. The new trailer? Yes. Yeah. Mark, you seen that?
No.
Mark, check it out.
On purpose.
Mark. Why?
On purpose.
Why, man?
I saw the I think I saw a shot of the shark.
Yes, like, man shark. Yes, king shark. Like, king shark.
King shark.
I was like, okay.
Who's voiced by Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone. Yes.
That's right. Okay. I, you know what? I literally was like, you know what? I'll reserve this for trailer three.
All right. Okay.
Mark, come on. I'm for telling
number
you.
Three.
Mark, I'm telling you, that king shark. The king shark scenes are hilarious, bro. Really, just check that out. It actually the new one that just came out, the trailer. Mm-hmm. Trust me, James Gunn was the best choice for this.
Mm. Of course, he
it's was. It's literally a different movie altogether. I don't even think about the first movie.
Mm-hmm. It yeah, does the, look it does look more promising.
Yeah,
you know
the king shark scene alone will just have you out. Was like, oh my god, I can't believe you just did that. And the weasel. And the weasel scene.
And even the dialogue between Idris Elba and
John Cena. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of funny. It's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But we'll let Mark reserve his opinion for.
Yo, he like, he stiff jawed on that too. Look, he's like, I ain't doing nothing. I ain't seeing shit. That's what it looked like. He's like, King Kong, I ain't seeing shit.
It was G versus K all weekend. I was just like, I was riding that high.
We're all like,
I let anything spoil it.
We're like, what? Justice League, what?
Right. Exactly.
Zack Snyder, who?
Yeah, so movie wise, I think the next big nerdtastic thing.
Mortal Kombat.
I have to throw this out. Speaking of trailers, I can't believe I forgot about this. Chris Rock and Sam Jackson in a Saw.
Right. Spiral, right?
Spiral. Yo. Mm-hmm. First of all, I had no idea that was happening.
I think I saw that trailer a while ago, though.
Okay.
Either I saw the trailer or I saw some advertisement about it, that they were going to be in it together. And I was like, huh, that ought to be. Because you know what's interesting? I think we all forget that Danny Glover was in the original Saw.
Yes. Well, yes, yes.
That's actually a reason why I didn't watch the rest of the Saws when they killed off Danny Glover.
Him and Harry Yules.
Mm.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right.
And then I think. Then it just went whatever route it went after that.
I have to be honest, after Saw 3, I was kind of like, all right, I think I get it. And it's kind of uncomfortable. So, you know, I think I'll just, you know.
Yeah, I think I made it to the fourth one. And then I was sort of like, I guess the thing was, I just didn't care anymore. It was
right because it's just now it's like you get it. It's kind of like how they overdid Jason, how they overdid Freddy. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like it kind of fell into that category. It's like, you know, I'll catch him when I catch him, when I feel like it, you know, but it's not like there's no buildup, there's no anxiety like what we were clearly feeling about Godzilla versus Kong. There was no, you know, anticipation, I should say. Mm-hmm. But I got anticipation now, and I got a drinking game for that movie when it comes out. Basically, you take a shot every time either Chris or Sam say the word motherfucker. I think
you're gonna be drunk.
Because first of all, Sam in the same movie as father and son, that's gonna be more cursing
than wow.
Think about it. That's gonna be more cursing than Harlem Nights. It's gonna be there for it.
I'll be there for it.
And yeah, no doubt. I'm all good.
Father and son motherfuckers.
Yeah. My motherfucking father. Well, you my motherfucking son. Yeah. Son. Yeah. Break up. Yeah. And
I do have to take a step back at something I watched before it left HBO Max. Mm. So I watched Tom and Jerry.
Oh wow.
So I had to text my brother. And I was like, so who is behind the soundtrack for Tom and Jerry? Because it was all hip hop and R&B. There's a scene where Jerry Jerry is living in this fancy hotel, and Tom is up in there. They tried to get him in there to get Jerry out. But there's a scene where they go to Jerry's, where the hole, where his doorway is, and knock on the door, and he's got Jodeci playing. Why is Jerry listening to Jodeci?
Because clearly there was a lady Jerry.
Tom was chasing Jerry to Don't Sweat the Technique. I'm like, who?
What?
Wait, time out. What?
Don't Sweat the Technique.
The Rakim song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what? And I'm like, you know what?
And they're chasing.
But I think my favorite part had to be Tom gets confronted by Butch, you know, the black cat that he always had beef with. Mm-hmm. They caught him in an alleyway. It's Butch and a bunch of other cats. And they're about to beat him up. And Tom sees like the pound, the truck from the pound. Mm-hmm. So he whistles and the pound truck stops and the cat goes, yo, it's 5-0. And he takes off and starts to run. I'm like, yo.
I don't even know how to feel about that. I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know how to feel about that. It's 5-0.
It's 5-0. He was like, yo, it's the 5-0. And Black he Butch? Took off running. No, yeah, Black Butch. It wasn't Butch who said it. It was one of like the orange cat that's always hanging out with him. And he took off running first. And I'm like, you know what? Y'all, yeah. I mean, it was an okay movie.
Right.
It was It was an okay movie. It wasn't nothing, you know. I mean, there's only so much you could do with a plot with Tom and Jerry, you know. But the simple fact that they had, like, you know, Mary J. Blige playing and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, who did the soundtrack for this? Because they're in New York. I get it. But, I mean, they're not like... And I want to say the song, I might be wrong. The song that Jerry was listening to was Come and Talk to Me. And I'm like, why is he listening to
Wait, Come and Talk to Me? That song.
I really want to
be
you.
Really? Really?
Wow.
I don't know how I feel about that, dude. They didn't really advertise like that, did they?
No. No, it's like it's.
Well, and, no. And it's, I, how do you advertise that? You know,
I mean,
like it's got smooth grooves playing in the background.
Yeah, or something.
Tom,
or you
Tom
know,
tries to take it. It's like, nah, my brother.
There's a way you can. I mean, I'm just saying, there's something that could be used to.
So but, what is all right? So let's wow. us break that down real quick while we just before we close this episode out. Is that the sign that there's a black writer? Is that the sign that we're dealing with a movie studio who, because of corporate umbrella, they have the rights to this particular music?
Right.
And it was just kind of a way to kind of do something clever here. Is this, you know, some Michael Rapaport type dude that is just trying to be on some Quentin Tarantino somewhat patronizing thing? Like where do you think that came from?
Yeah, who owns I'm sorry, who owns Tom and Jerry? Is it Warner Brothers?
Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of those songs were under Warner Brothers label at some point. It might have been. I mean, I didn't take it as they were being, it wasn't something that was being forced. Okay. You know, it was just sort of like, you know, you're sitting there.
All right.
And I guess the music kind of went with it. Cause I mean, if you listen to Don't Sweat the Technique, like the just the music itself.
Sure, that works for a chase scene, absolutely.
For a chase scene, absolutely.
But you do have me confused with Jerry and Jodeci. Like,
yeah. The Jodeci thing just caught me completely off guard. But I think the whole fact is that the scene was that he was chilling. Like he had made a home for himself in the wall, and he had a flat screen TV and the whole nine inside his place. So the whole thing was that. Because even at one point, was it Tom? Oh, Tom was in one of the rooms, and he had a bottle of sparkling cider,
mm-hmm.
like, drinking it out of a champagne glass. So. So yeah, it was those little things that kind of caught me. Like I was like, this is interesting that somebody decided to sit down and incorporate this into the film, because it really wasn't. It wasn't like now. See, I think I would have been a little more conscious of that had they been in the hood or something like that. Like they were
right.
They were trying to be like in Harlem or something like that during the 70s or something like, you know. Like yeah. They were trying to play that angle, but it really was them. They were in a hotel, and there was a wedding that was supposed to be happening, and Jerry made his way into the hotel, and the people That's in the hotel point. Were like, we got to get rid of this mouse before right. you know X, Y, and Z happens, and they found Tom outside and brought him inside to try and flush him out. So
could it be something dealing with also probably just trying to gear up an audience for the Space Jam movie coming out also, you think?
Could be.
Once you said Warner Brothers, I was like, wait, don't Warner Brothers also doing Space Jam?
They're doing Space Jam, and
just was always kind of like the urban the cartoon
of
for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, wow. It could be. But and then it could just be also that there it was though banking on who was going to watch Tom and Jerry. Like many people who grew up on Tom and Jerry would flock to it more than children would,
right?
I mean, because again, it's still you know, their antics still are a little more mature.
Well, I guess when you look at it like that, because of course the original Tom and Jerry, they had music.
Mm-hmm.
But the music was like, you know, like they had the Zoot Suit episode.
Oh, yeah.
Is you is you ain't my baby, and I guess there was that sort of incorporation of not so much current stuff, but you know, peripheral music of the time or something like that. So I don't know. Maybe in an odd way that does kind of make sense.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it was a fun movie. Is it
something to watch? Because of course everybody makes a whole thing about cartoon violence now. Is this like? Did you watch this with Cosette? Is this like something that?
No. It was literally my brother told me to watch it, and it was like 2 days before we're supposed to leave, and I was like, I have nothing else to watch. I'll just sit down and I'll watch this and see what I think of it. Because I know you're not going to get the old Tom and Jerry. You're not going to get, you know, the stuff that we grew up on, which HBO Max actually has 3 seasons of Tom and Jerry on there. But somebody curated these because they're not all of the Tom and Jerry's, and they picked particular ones.
Yes, of course. Understood.
You know, that are fan favorites. And then they threw in a couple of Tex Avery ones.
Got it.
Okay.
The Cat Who Hated People, Bad Luck Blackie, which is my favorite, and the Ventriloquist Cat.
Okay.
Which is...
All right. So, cool. Not necessarily for kids, but you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think kids would get bored with it after a while. I think, you know, because the human element is really what's driving the story, you know, and the human, you know, in those kind of movies, the human counterparts are always playing at one level above, you know, because they're playing against animated characters. So they don't, you know. They're not playing it like, you know, I'm trying to get an Oscar out of this deal.
Exactly.
You
know,
okay.
So.
All right. Well, this has been sort of a nostalgia episode. We're bringing out Godzilla, bringing out King Kong, bringing out Tom, bringing out Jerry, bringing out Jodeci. What the fuck? Anyway, that's our episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. Not so socially distant, because Kirk and I have been hanging out here and there. And, you know, we'll probably get Mark Abbott in person at some point in our lives. But in the meantime, of course, we'll be recording these happy-ass episodes over Zoom and posting them. And it's going to be a blast. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for more of those. Stay tuned for some fun guests that I'm still trying to work out schedule-wise, but we're definitely going to have them. And that's our show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. I think I can say for the three of us, we love you all very much. And we're going to see you soon.
Have a good one.
All right.